It's really early in the morning here in Seattle, and I seem to be sitting inside a car with Kyle. Good morning.
Good morning to you. How do you feel? Are you ready for this?
You know, this is an evening show. This show usually airs at 6 o'clock. By the way, the show is Off the Wall. I'm Emmanuel Goldstein. This is Kyle. But it's not morning. I mean, it's not evening where we. I don't even know what time of day it is. It's morning. I'm pretty sure it's morning. It's damn early in the morning. Yeah, and you can talk like that on Seattle radio, apparently. But yeah, we're sitting inside a car, and well, where are we about to go, Kyle?
We're going to go to the Olympic Peninsula, but we're going to catch a ferry first, which means we have to get going.
Do I sense some impatience in your voice as you tell me to get going?
It's more resignation, but yeah, a little.
Okay, true, it did take us 25 minutes to untangle the cord and get the microphone plugged in properly. And this is the third time we're doing this. But I don't think there's any reason to be snippy. Why don't we just get the car started then?
Are you ready?
Always.
Okay, I'm going to place the key in the ignition.
It's a nice car, by the way, very, very sleek.
Do you like it?
I do, very much.
Well, I had a lot of help over a very long time, but it all started way back when I fell in love and rescued a 1980 rabbit from a neighbor named Herb.
Only in Seattle could you have a neighbor named Herb. Okay, well let's hear what this rabbit sounds like when you start it up. It's a Volkswagen rabbit, right? That's who makes rabbits.
It's also known as a Mark One or an A1. This happens to be a sedan, so it's not as desirable to some, but it's a diesel, and it's my diesel.
All right, let's listen. That's the windshield wipers.
Yeah, we were using those. Right now I'm warming it with some glow plugs. Okay, here we go.
Listen to that engine purr. That is something.
It is pretty magical. I like the sound, and I tend to listen to that. I had a radio in here, but I just kind of commune with the drive, and we're gonna have quite a drive today.
Yeah, I was about to ask you that. How far are we going to be driving in this vehicle?
189 miles.
And then, of course, coming back too.
Yeah, we might push that into another day instead of making this so we can stop. We want to see some things, and I want to maybe check out some stuff that I haven't showed you yet, and that I myself maybe haven't seen. You were interested in this ferry, so I'm bound and determined, first and foremost, to get you on a ferry.
Well, wait, hold on a second. The ferry is not the only thing I'm interested in. I'm interested in seeing something in Western Washington. I've never been to that part of the state, that part of the country. It's quite scenic, and I'm very much looking forward to getting away from the city. And I love the city. We're going to talk about the various places we've been, but right now I guess we should get moving. And I should probably shut up because all your windows are fogged up. The car sounds good. It's got sort of an East German motif to it, I think. This reminds me of engines working very hard and lasting for a long, long time. And how do you feel at the beginning of this journey?
Oh, really, really good. I'm just thinking about some of the destinations we talked about and just logistics. Should I say where we're starting out and
Yeah, get some specifics. I know we're staying in a place with a really weird name, like Push or Pull or something like that.
correct. Well, there's going to be some high winds out in La Push. I did look at the weather on the western coast near the ocean, and there is some wind and wind advisories and also storm warnings and so forth. But we're going to start out with the Seattle to Bainbridge ferry, which is Bainbridge Island. And from there, you can connect to the Olympic Peninsula and some of the intervening towns. We're going to pass by Poulsbo and Bremerton and then end up maybe getting some coffee in Port Angeles.
Port Angeles. It's the better cousin of Los Angeles. All right, well, we're going to get started. I'm going to not be a distraction, and I guess we'll talk to you from the ferry. See ya. Okay, we're on the ferry, wearing masks, which, by the way, doesn't seem to affect the sound quality of our voices, we've noticed. Wow, that's a big dog. Look at the size of that dog. So, Kyle, this got... Like every time we take transit in the Seattle area, it gets more complicated than it needs to. But you want to tell us what's going on?
Yeah, E, it's so funny. We basically looked at the wrong schedule, and the Bainbridge Island ferry isn't the one that we're going to take. We ended up taking a different ferry terminal. We didn't go to Seattle. We left from Fauntleroy, which is in West Seattle, and that was a better way of us getting to the peninsula. Otherwise, we would have had to wait a really long time in Seattle. And they're on a limited schedule right now because of staffing issues and all kinds of complicating vaccine and other factors. So we just switched, and we're going to Southworth now. But then we had a problem getting the right ticket.
Yeah, that's what I meant. We had to go to a different location, which is good, you know, a different way to get to where we're going. But once we were on the ferry, we were kind of confused.
Yeah, the attendant who sold us the ticket only sold us the ticket to Vashon, so we were placed in a certain line for just Vashon, meaning we're first off. Unfortunately, we don't want to get off. This boat continues to Southworth, so what we have to do is coordinate by putting on our flashers. I was with you. We went upstairs and found a purser's office, and that person was able to advise us.
That was the purser?
That was the purser.
I'd never met a purser before.
He was very, very helpful, but corrected us and realized that we needed a little bit of help. So we're going to be asking for help as we get off this boat. Then we're going to get right back on it and continue on to Southworth.
At least that's what we think. Once we get off this boat, we're going to be somewhere we don't want to be. So we have to somehow make a U-turn, get right back on the boat. It's pretty funny, but I think we should make it clear before we get off the boat that we intend to get back on the boat to whoever it is that's telling us to get off. And yes, universal sign that we need help is four-way flashers.
Yeah, a bit of a fiasco, but let's maybe take in the rest of this journey on the sea here, on the Pacific. I'm sorry.
We're not in the Pacific.
On the Puget Sound, near the Pacific, yes. On our way to maybe visit the Pacific.
Yeah, all bodies of water on the West Coast begin with P. I don't know if anybody knew that. You know what's interesting? We're sitting in the garage where all the cars are, but there were these two armchairs with a table in between them, perfect for doing radio, just sitting here in the middle of the garage, the only chairs around, and great. I feel like they're laying out the red carpet for us.
Oh, yes, and all the people glaring at us are really concerned we're not going to get our asses in the car and get off this boat so they can get where they're going. So we should probably finish up here.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Since when do we care if people are glaring at us? We're still moving. Oh, wait, we're docking. We'll catch up on land. See ya. Okay, well, we sorted that out, got off the ferry with our car, and made a little U-turn, and came back onto the ferry and made it to the port that we were originally supposed to make it to. Everything worked out just great. And we have driven quite a bit, or Kyle has driven quite a bit, to Port Angeles a couple of hours, and now we are on a little two-lane road heading to the town of Forks. Is everything I've said pretty much accurate, Kyle?
Absolutely, yeah. Big thanks to the ferry system employees that directed us. But this town of Port Angeles is fairly large. It's right across from Victoria, BC, in Canada. And that body of water is the Strait of Juan de Fuca. From Port Angeles, there's a BC ferry and many various types of shipping and port activity. It's very much a maritime town right there on the water.
Now, we are currently, as I mentioned, on this little two-lane road. I have to point out, people talk about the leaves turning in the northeast. It's spectacular, leaves turning in the Pacific Northwest. I never knew they... there are a lot of evergreen trees, true, but there's also a lot of trees where the leaves are turning all different shades of orange and yellow and falling to the ground. And plus, you have the backdrop of all those evergreens, mountains, of course the waterways, and just it's incredible. It really is incredible. There's no little other words I can think of at the moment. So our plan right now, it's a little bit after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and what we're hoping to do is make it to Forks, which is an awfully odd sounding name, and I promise I'll find out why it's called that. Then there is a road, we're staying in Forks. Forks is the place that we are staying in, but the actual Pacific Coast is to the west in La Push. And again, I'll try to find out why it's called that. I'm not sure we'll have enough time to make it there before dark. I'd like to record some audio there. If we don't make it there, we'll make it there tomorrow when we wake up and record some audio for a future show, but we'll see what happens. It really has been a great trip so far, though. Well, especially for me, because I've been the passenger, but just the scenery. It was pouring rain not too long ago. I mean, really, monsoons. We have this bomb cyclone thing, which I still don't quite understand what that's all about, but that's been dumping rain on parts of Seattle, but apparently especially out here because of, what is it, Kyle, the Olympic Mountains?
That's correct. The Olympic National Park is here and is the Olympic Mountain Range. Recall, several years ago, you went up to the base camp of Mount Rainier, which is a part of, I believe, the Cascade Range. So that was a very snowy and icy trip. My hope is to take you to some of the rainforests, which is another climactic zone in Washington.
You have the sun directly in your eyes right now, so I'm going to let you drive. Kyle has the reflective surface of the road from the rain that has just fallen. It's a narrow two-lane road, mountainous, all kinds of curves, and now on top of everything else, the sun has come out and is shining full on in the face. The mountain range here definitely contributes to weather patterns of all sorts. I'm just happy to be in the Pacific Northwest where there's rain again. Where last time I was here, it was more like Los Angeles. Of course, I've never actually been here, this part of the Pacific Northwest. And as Kyle mentioned, we're not too far from Victoria over in British Columbia. Port Angeles is just right across the water from there. But we're heading in the other direction now. We're actually on U.S. Route 101, which I believe is the Pacific Coast Highway down in California, maybe other parts as well. So it's kind of neat to be on this road, and it's always spectacular. And that vehicle stopped ahead of you, Kyle, and I'm not sure why, and it's right on a deadly curve, so let's go by there slowly. Okay. Yeah, we've noticed a lot of people driving erratically, or just badly. U-turns in weird places, or just popping up when it's inappropriate, and things like that. But, wow, this is pretty spectacular right here.
Oh, I'm glad you appreciate it. As I was saying before, I was blinded there. We'll also see the coast. So the coast, a little bit of rainforest. I think that would be good to give you more of the diversity of temperate areas that I'm always talking up about Washington. I want to actually show you. Yeah, this is the rainforest. And the one I'm thinking of is the Ho Rainforest, where there is a trail. And it features the Hall of Mosses, and basically that's like tree moss, and it has a lot of educational stuff and talks about rainforests there.
Rainforest in the Pacific Northwest, that's a first for me. And what, the Hall of Mosses, you said?
Yeah, I think that will be somewhat spectacular, although there are several rainforests in this area, and that just seemed to be the most spectacular for this trip, and we'll likely do that on the way south after our stay in Forks.
Okay, a lot to look forward to here. And as we're driving, up next to this spectacular, is this a river?
I believe it's a lake. I don't know which one.
There's all kinds of cloud cover by the mountains here. You know, people, this is kind of like Iceland, where people just pull over to take pictures and that's what they're doing. Lake Crescent, okay, in the Olympic National Park. That's what we're passing right now. Watch out, you have some more picture takers up ahead. And I don't know if this person sees you coming. Okay, that's... It really is spectacular. I don't blame them for stopping there, screeching to a halt, and jumping out and taking a picture. It's still going to be there, though. You don't have to hurry. It really is something, though. I wish this was video sometimes. We're on a nice drive now. We're heading to a cool place. But we've been doing all sorts of things in the, SeaTac area is the way you describe the area.
Well, yeah, the sort of south downtown and south Seattle, South King County area, technically. And SeaTac's right in the middle. That's where the airport is.
They actually named the town after the airport, I guess. Or they named the airport after two... Oh, my God, look at this. Look at this cliff, this rock face to the left. My goodness. If a rock were to fall now, even a tiny one, I'm sure we definitely would feel that. So you have spectacular water to the right. You have a sheer rock mountain to the left. You've got the sun shining full on our face. And is that a grizzly bear? No, it's not. But we haven't seen any wildlife.
Was that a test?
Do you have grizzly bears here?
There could be some bears out here.
I want to see a bear. I want to see something. We're in a national park. We're in some of the most spectacular scenery I've ever seen, and I've got to see something, you know? There's got to be something.
They may be packing on some pounds for their winter nap, if you get my drift.
You mean we're in danger of being eaten by a bear?
No, they may have done their feasting, and they're probably looking for a nice place to rest for the winter.
I doubt that. It's not even Canadian Thanksgiving yet. They still have a lot of feasting to do.
Okay, I'll give you that.
We are continuing down this scenic road here. I don't know how many times I can say how scenic this is. But let's get back to from whence we've come, Seattle, Tacoma area. Seattle, I've noticed so many things. I guess this is the first time I've been here since dispensaries have become very widespread. And it's really awesome to see the variety. We just went to one today where it was just a single person running the place, and we were the only people in there, and that was very, very different. As always, everyone we've been to, no matter what the state is, the people know so much about what it is they're selling. They're extremely friendly. They basically are able to answer any questions. In this case, we didn't have to show any ID, which I don't think we ever had to do before. I mean, we always had to show ID just to get in. It just seemed very laid back. It was out in Port Angeles. And I don't know, any impressions, Kyle?
Oh, certainly. The variation, I think it's emblematic of the area. If it's a little bit farther than the city, maybe they're not going to be as strict in some of the ways. But they are still battling a lot of the, like, banking and finance stuff. In this case, sort of directing me, yeah, you know, cards aren't that great. We have a huge fee if I have to process it. And so the way around that is they have ATMs in these places, and they're really great. I found the pricing was better. This happens to be in the same area as one of my favorite growers. They have a bird as a mascot, let's say that, and they're very renowned and of high quality. So I always ask for that particular brand, and being so close, I was able to get sort of a little bit of a weekend discount, and of course it's probably quite fresh being from the area, and the people there knew so much about it. Like, he knew exactly what I was talking about and had what I was looking for.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting too. You mentioned the banking issues. There was a sheet, and it was very well explained. I've always wondered why certain things happen the way they happen, but it was explained that using the U.S. mail to transport marijuana in any quantity is illegal, even within a state where it's completely legal. Why? Because the U.S. Post Office is considered federal. And under federal law, marijuana is still illegal. And not only that, and this is really kind of interesting, if you were to mail proceeds from marijuana sales, even within a state where marijuana is legal, those proceeds are considered illegal too, because they were gotten through something illegal, namely the sale of marijuana. Doesn't matter that it was legal in the state that you mailed it from, or even the state you mailed it to, or even if it's the same state. They can seize that. They can just confiscate the money. Of course, I don't know anybody who would send cash in the mail, but that's not really the point. The point is that they still are able to do that, even in places where it's completely legal. So you have this weird gray area that we're trying to come to terms with, that I hope is in its final days, because what I've seen so far, whether it's Illinois, Massachusetts, Washington, this is healthy. This is good. This is employing lots of people. It's basically making things safer for kids and ensuring better quality and, you know, basically not putting people in prison that have no business being there and have been afflicted by this kind of thing. We've been afflicted by this kind of thing for decades, if not longer. So such positivity, and I really hope that we can put an end to the idiocy that exists in so many parts of the country.
Yeah, as someone who lived through prohibition of cannabis, I didn't have nearly the consequences that many other people have had in being discreet and trying to stay out of trouble. But I still find it very hard to relax and be comfortable knowing that it's legal and all of that. So every bit of break you give to things like the financial system or the parcel and logistics system or transportation, I'm thinking like Amtrak, which is also federal, they are doing their best to keep their customers safe and do what's best for their networks, but it's putting an undue burden on systems that do not need to be policing the transport of people or goods that are ostensibly legal from state to state, or even nationally if you're talking about hemp.
I just have to break in again here to say how spectacular the scenery is around us as we drive down towards Forks. Pine trees up and down the mountain on both sides of this lake, and it's just so incredible and such a contrast to the urban sprawl that we've been seeing in the greater Seattle and Tacoma area. Boy, there are a lot of highways, there are a lot of cars, there's a lot of industry. There's a beauty to that, but it also can grate on your nerves after a while. There are many things that I've noticed. One thing I've noticed is that dogs are now allowed in stores. I don't think that's something that was the case last time I was here. They're allowed in stores, they're allowed on trains, and they're very, very polite, just like in Europe. Dogs are very well behaved. You just see them coming onto a bus, maybe, or a link line, light rail, inside stores, nobody raises a fuss.
Yeah, very much like in Berlin, you would notice people with pets on the U-Bahn, up to and including buying tickets. I mean, I know that we've talked about that before. There are actual dog tickets for some of those systems. But you're right. It was so much more noticeable to see sort of an allowance of animals and with reasonable rules and some considerations for, like, you know, a little bit of water or whatever the pet's needs might be. But an understanding that you're allowed if you don't abuse this ability. I can't remember when that changed, but I believe that is a recent thing that pets are allowed in various establishments, but I'm not sure the whole history of it.
We talked about a number of things last week on Off the Hook on the other radio station, especially the propaganda commercials at Amazon is spreading everywhere in every possible place you can imagine. If you're streaming television on your laptop, you'll see these Orwellian Amazon commercials saying how they take care of everybody and make everything better. You'll see it in news stories, not just in advertising, but you'll see it in news stories. I saw a story about Amazon starting a warehouse on tribal land, on First Nations tribal land. And I read that as a negative thing. That's not how the story was presented. It was presented as a positive thing. This is opportunity. This is progress. You see metro stops or light rail stops that are sponsored by Amazon. You just see it everywhere. It's so pervasive. And, of course, the buildings are everywhere. It's sad because Seattle has such spirit, such amazing activist-type spirit. You see Black Lives Matter everywhere. You just have this sense that change is in the air and people really want to get down and do something. But then you have this corporate monolith, these overlords that are just over the hill. I don't know if there really is a hill, but you know they're right there, and they're taking over everything. They're kicking people out of their neighborhoods and replacing them with their employees and raising the rent everywhere. It's just sad. And the other battle, and we mentioned this as well, is mental health issues. So many people seem to have real problems, unhoused, basically talking to people who aren't there, not being taken care of. And that needs to change because there is such greatness in that city, so much that can be done, so much that's inspirational, but it's all overshadowed when you don't want to walk down the street because of all the people that are running up to you. You know, nobody wants that. But there's so much good that is being done as well. So, you know, I think people just need to double down and really, really realize they can accomplish so much, but they can't close their eyes to the problems around them. And I think the rest of us need to support that.
So true. I've found that development of on native land for logistics and fulfillment, it really is sort of insidious from the perspective of Amazon exploiting some sort of association with the tribes, and I'm a little bit saddened because it puts the tribes in an awkward position. They need economic development, and we'll take those opportunities just like any other enterprising city or small town or chambers of commerce would. So naturally, when a big company like this says, hey, we're interested in developing this area, they're going to be as receptive as possible because this means a lot for their community, for their ability to tax businesses and so forth. So unfortunately, I can't fault a tribal nation taking whatever they can get from a business like Amazon that's coming to the area. I just hope that it's done properly and that they hold that corporation and are not victimized by it, but hold it to account for everything from environmental impact to hiring programs and education and actually taxing such that the community they're in benefits instead of, oh, wow, this is tribal land, we don't have to pay taxes or something.
Yeah, you know, there is opportunity there for people, but, you know, when you have something as monolithic as Amazon, eventually, don't know how, don't know when, it'll fall apart, it'll fail. And how much of the surrounding area will be taken with it when that happens? That's what I worry about. I worry about what happened to Detroit when the auto industry abandoned it. When the auto industry has pretty much destroyed anything other than the auto industry, that's the kind of thing that you risk. So I think activism, individuality, that kind of thing is more It's stronger. It'll basically defeat anything that's as big as Amazon or any other corporation. But it requires a lot of work. A lot of work.
I think agile as well. People can react. People can take change form and respond and regroup and reappear in really astounding ways, in ways that a corporation just cannot do, no matter how good they think their rebranding efforts are.
You notice that guy just passed on a double yellow line?
Yeah, I might have seen us talking on a microphone through my rear view.
Well, if someone's talking on a microphone in the car in front of you, it doesn't give you the right to cross over a double yellow line and pass, because that's dangerous. Now, that person passed you properly, because, well, he splashed you, too. That was a dotted yellow line. But maybe we should speed it up a little bit. Let me just say, because we're going to fill up the whole hour if we're not careful. I just want to say we went to Tacoma as well. I really, really like Tacoma. It's a much smaller city, but we discovered when we were walking around the streets that they just are suddenly, well, probably not suddenly, but to us it was sudden, they're just building a light rail line that goes through a lot of the main streets of Tacoma. And boy, there were a lot of people working on it, and they were enthused by it.
Oh, it is so cool to see that. That was the original link track, the very first one in around 2005. I was still a student then, and I remember using that and being amazed that this European-style light rail was here in the state I was from. And Tacoma, it was a very short line, but they have done what they can to expand that. And what it is doing is expanding into the hilltop neighborhood of Tacoma, which, if you know anything about Tacoma, it is on a bit of a hill. So, and I showed you, you can attest.
I can attest, believe me. We went to a coffee shop that was all the way at the top of the damn hill. And the Maps app didn't tell us that. But it was worth it when we got there.
Historically, that neighborhood, though, has been cut off. There's, you know, the jail and City Hall on one end and the hospitals on another. And really sparse retail, not a lot of affordable housing. A lot of very old housing and empty lots, historically. That has since changed. And back when the light rail was starting in around 2005 and so forth, the University of Washington's campus was emerging there. So that has helped revitalize the western side downhill of Hilltop. With this new tram or trolley, like link system.
They call it a train. It's not a train.
It's more of a streetcar. With that system connecting, what's happening is it's extending and looping around and goes down Martin Luther King in the Hilltop neighborhood and then connects near Wright Park and in the Stadium District and then goes down around and reconnects at what was the end in the Theater District. It's brilliant. It is so cool to see it. And it's much more functional. Instead of just a point A to point B, it's a A, B, C, D, and goes around in a very large loop, which is critical for keeping people moving around in that urban core that was essentially cut off mainly because of the hill. I mean, you can only have so many buses climbing up a hill and then flying down the other end. So this will make it much less of impervious thing that's a barrier in the city.
It was just so good to stumble upon that. Actually, had we not climbed the hill to get coffee, I don't think we would have found those tracks that were being extended all the way up there. When they're finished with this, which will be next year, actually, 2022, the light rail system in Tacoma will have more than doubled in size. So that's awesome. That's the kind of inspirational thing we need to see more of. I want to see that in eastern cities as well. And as Kyle said, it's a very European style to have a tram come lumbering through. And it's convenient, it's fast, and it's pretty awesome. Listen, we have to stop because otherwise we won't have any time left for broadcasting from the water if we make it that far. So, but let me just tell people quickly, we plan something exciting. We're going to be driving back to New York pretty soon. And we're open to suggestions as to cool places to stop at. Now, due to the pandemic and all the nonsense going on, we can't be social, but what we can do is be curious. So if you know of a cool place, a particular town, a particular street, like, you know, it should be more than just a street, though, for us to drive to it, let us know. Let us know what you think would be a cool thing for us to witness, you know, something unusual. I heard there's a town somewhere where it's one time on one side of the street, another time on another side of the street, things like that. Let us know, and if we go to those places, we will credit you, and we will make a recording from those places. Write to us, otw@2600.com. Let us know your ideas. Do it soon. I'm not sure when we're going, but it's coming up. Now we're going to sign off for the moment and come back either from the Pacific Ocean or someplace else. All right, Kyle, we made it to a beach of some sort. Wow, it's these are waves that are bigger than anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's very, very choppy and rough today.
And looking out, there are these massive islands of rock with trees on top of them. They look like something from another planet. It is extremely windy. The waves are huge. I see all this. What do you call that stuff on the ground? It looks like laundry detergent.
Yeah, it's foam that I think comes from all the churn or flotsam, and it's part of the process of all that activity. It just mixes around and foams up a little.
Reminds me of that time in Iceland where there was this tremendous wind in the northeastern part of the country, and we could barely get out of the car. And it's like that, extremely windy. I imagine it's probably like this all the time on the western coast here.
Absolutely, it's typical. I know it seems unusual today, but this is what you get. I mean, the edge of this coast basically is what buffers the inland Puget Sound area from all of the intense Pacific Ocean weather, and so here it is. This is the high winds and stuff coming in from the weather cycle we've been talking about. This is the first bit of land it hits. So all this choppiness and wind is just now interfacing with the tree lines and the rock faces of the coast.
It's unbelievable to look out at that and realize that's the ocean, and it's a pretty angry ocean at the moment. I guess there's seagulls up in the air. I can barely open my eyes, and they're just hovering in the wind.
Yeah, they tend to be taking a little bit of refuge, but they do fly up and sort of hover as the wind blows. So I think they just basically find different places to shelter and relocate as needed.
I just realized I can face away from the water, and I can breathe at least that way. I'm not sure how it's going to pick up on the microphone with all the wind. But it's obviously we made it here. It's shortly before sunset, I guess about an hour before sunset. And well, we're not going to see a sunset here because it's pretty cloudy and rainy. But boy, it's beautiful. It really is. There are people parked at this. It's called First Beach here at what's the place? La Push.
Yeah, and there's a part of the Olympic Forest Park and Trail System also is located here, as well as some tribal and resort areas. But right now we're facing the marina in downtown La Push on Main Street.
That is something. I'm just looking at those islands. I wonder if anyone can even get to them, because we're looking at rocks that maybe are a couple of hundred feet high. Would you say that's accurate?
In some cases, when the tide is out, I'm not saying these ones in particular, but islands like these you can walk to when the tide is all the way out.
Really? This tide goes all the way out? You can walk to those islands?
I'm not 100% sure that these ones are that accessible, but on a calm day you could easily canoe or rowboat there, if not walk.
I would not want to do that, though, because, you know, those, first of all, you have to somehow get up the sheer rock face of it, and then I see some pine trees up on top, but that's way up on top. It really looks extraterrestrial to see islands like this. It's not something I'm used to on the East Coast.
Yeah, and the equivalent would be the rocks and land masses over on the other side of the Pacific Ocean. I think of like Japan and parts of Asia that are basically touching this coastline. They all meet around this particular ocean.
I'm looking at a jetty, actually. I just noticed this now because I couldn't turn my face in that direction. But there's a jetty with all these massive rocks, but also lots and lots of logs on top of it. Do you see that?
Oh, yeah. Could be remnants of logging or just trees falling from the coastline as things erode and the land changes and reforms, et cetera, et cetera.
You know, often... I suggest taking a nice leisurely walk out onto the jetty. I'm not going to do that this time, though, because I don't think we'd even make it to the first rock. It's so... Oh,
that's
my God.
Actually,
it's so windy and so wet and hostile.
That's one of the warnings I read when looking into hiking and what the weather would be on the coast. They said explicitly, do not walk on jetties.
Yeah, don't walk on this slippery rock that goes out into the unforgiving ocean. Don't be a dumbass.
Yeah, and... And along those lines, I would say no surfing or any kind of other water sports today.
Now that you mention it, I haven't seen a single surfer out there. No surfers.
Really painful rain now.
Can we maybe go back to the car?
You want to go back there?
Finish this conversation there? My God, I'm about to be swept off my feet, and not in the good way. This is awesome. It's what I wanted, though. It really is. Boy, you know, when you go to Seattle, you think it's on the ocean, but it's not. We had to drive hours to get here, and it's so, so worth it.
Yeah, but it's so close, and I just love how, well, we're getting that exposed, raw feeling that the coast can serve up easily.
Are those your keys I see on the dashboard inside the car?
No, that's not them. I got them right here.
Oh, good.
I made sure to put them in a good, safe place. Here, I'll open the door for
Please
you.
Please open the door and do it quick-like.
Oh, it's stuck.
Of course it's stuck. It really is stuck. Is it open?
Yeah, it's open.
I have no hands free. Could you open the door for me? Thank you. Okay, I'm going to get in the car. I'll meet you on the other side. Oh, I'll close the door myself. I can do that. Thank you. As Kyle goes around the other side, let me shut my door. Oh. Okay. I gotta tell you, every now and then you need to jump right into nature and get soaking wet and have the wind just attack your face. There's no better feeling. There really isn't, because afterwards you're inside. And even though right now I'm pretty wet, sitting in this car, I still feel very, very comfortable having just been outside and still being able to look outside. My God, those waves, it's just nothing but white caps as far as you can see, and huge too. You've got these magnificent islands in the distance.
I like how everything is gray and in silhouette. As a black and white analog photographer, I really get kind of geeky with that because it's basically shades and contrasts. There's no bright colors. It's not blue skies and everything, you know, sunshine down in LA. This is really just silhouettes and this sort of muted tones. There's maybe some sadness, but I find beauty in that too. I think it can be really moving, the rawness and the quiet and lack of color, right?
Yeah, no, there's definitely beauty in that. And there's beauty in sadness, too. But right now what I'm noticing is just a steady flow of people who pull up in their vehicles and just go outside and experience what we just experienced. It's not comfortable. It's not convenient. But it is something that you just have to do. And I am so glad we did this. Just yesterday, we were sitting in Seattle, and I remembered that we'd always wanted to go out west a bit, you know, further west of Seattle. Again, I always thought Seattle was on the Pacific, and it's not. So I said, Kyle, do you feel like going, you know, taking a drive? And you were super into it. And of course, this this beautiful rabbit here is super into it. Did a great job getting us out here. Hopefully he'll do a good job getting us back as well.
Yes, the minimalist transport method. But it's basically all we needed to get moving. And I just like the spontaneity of it and the magic of being able to learn more about a place I really like. And that the storm itself, yeah, it may have been kind of not what we were expecting in the Puget Sound area, but we went to where the action is right now, and it's definitely, it's not disappointing. This is full-on Pacific rain and wind.
Let's listen to that rain. I love the sound of that rain hitting the roof. I like it more when I'm inside the car. I was hearing it outside too. It's nice, but not nearly as comfortable. Oh, wow. This is Pacific Northwest weather as I really prefer to experience it. Of course, now we have to drive back from La Push to Forks. I will look up those names and see why they have such odd names. But right now we are on a reservation, I believe.
Yeah, we are. We'll continue driving out. We may stop at one of the rest stops that's at the head of the park trails just to kind of walk into a trail maybe a little bit and back. Or just
in this weather?
Well, I just wanted to show you how much less weather gets access to you. You know, you're much more protected where there's a lot more trees, but we could just drive through some of those lots and look at what they have as far as trails.
Well, I have to say, on the way out here, we saw some forest, and the trees were so densely packed together. It was pitch black dark looking in there. That was simply unbelievable. You just wonder what is going on inside that forest. And if you just walk in, you know, 20, 30 feet, you have no sense of direction. At least I imagine you don't. I'm not going to do it. But wow, just so many amazing things to see here. Okay, so let's go over there, and I'm not sure we'll record that, but we'll experience it and maybe come back afterwards. But boy, this has been incredible. From La Push, Washington. We'll see you in a bit.
I'd definitely come back. I would do this again.
Yeah, sure. Name the date.
I'll have to get back to you.
Well, we made it to our warm and dry motel room after experiencing some of the wildest weather I think I've seen in a very long time.
Yeah, that was intense. And apparently this is quite a storm, although I kind of upsold how much this was a normal thing. But apparently we are right in the middle of a pretty substantial weather event.
First thing that happens, we turn the TV set on and there's a weather bulletin and what looks like a hurricane right at our doorstep here at Western Washington. So I guess the bomb cyclone has finally caught up to us.
Yeah, there was a tree that fell and a fatality. It fell on a vehicle.
Two fatalities in the same vehicle.
Incredible. It's incredible. But we're taking our precautions and, going to enjoy this interesting little town here.
Hang on. What kind of precautions can you take against a massive tree falling and crushing your car when we're driving through the forest? What kind of precaution can possibly save you from that?
You raise a good point, but it's important to remain calm in scenarios like this. And I find that, well, something very calming is that we're not driving right now.
That is calming. But what's calming when you are driving is blissful ignorance, because I had no idea that it was as bad as it's being reported on TV. Anyway, as promised, I did look up why the two towns that we've been circling around are named, the odd things are named. Forks, which is where we are now, it's named after forks in nearby rivers. Yeah, that's all it is. And something else interesting that I learned from Wikipedia is that it's been drawing tourism from the series Twilight, because apparently it's set in Forks. Did you know that? I haven't seen Twilight, but I know it's very, very popular.
and apparently Forks is a big major draw. But there have been declines in the timber industry. So right now, in addition to fictitious stories that somehow draw people in, Forks needs to rely on the correctional center that's nearby as well as a source of income. That and salmon and the Olympic National Park.
Yes, and hopefully the burgeoning cannabis industry as we described. But I just want to comment, that show is probably shot in BC. I don't know if it's actually produced in Forks. You say it's about Forks.
Well, it's drawing people in somehow. I did see a sign for Twilight. And in fact, remember that sign that said no vampires beyond this point? That was a Twilight reference.
Okay. So I don't know anything about this show.
We're both ignorant.
There's no way we could have been prepared for that. So pardon that faux pas.
Now, La Push, which is where the coast was that we were just at, that is actually named after the French La Bouche, which means mouth, as in Femme la Bouche, close your mouth, you know, that kind of thing. The mouth of the Kulayuti River, which is adapted into Chinook jargon, that's how they got the name La Push, from La Bouche. So also, here's a little factoid, La Push has the westernmost zip code in the contiguous United States, 98350. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Did you also know, or did you also not know, that La Push is a place where people can see whales? And maybe that's what those people were doing. Instead of just going off and gazing dreamily into the storm, maybe they were looking for whales that for some reason would be jumping up and down in the bomb cyclone.
Yeah, that's indeed possible. I think the weather and wildlife would easily be a draw. I didn't see a lot of like touristy stuff around that. Like some places get all this like whale watching business and stuff like that. So it's cool if you could just be in a park or along the coastline and see something natural like that without, you know, having sort of this whole guide infrastructure.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, we're going to try and find food because it's hard to find food in a place like this. We're going to, I guess, play the outro now and invite people once again to give us ideas for cool places to drop in on as we drive back across the United States from the Seattle area back to New York. But we can take detours. Write to us, otw@2600.com. Stay tuned for Finn. We'll see you next week. Good night.